Hey loves, like you, I desire an abundant life and its lifestyle, and to continue to show up as my best version of self, where we win in life to reclaim, rediscover, redesign an authentic and genuine self. And yes, this is intimacy on a whole new level. Welcome. Join us at claritywithsue.com. Again, that's claritywithsue.com.
Welcome to the good life. Good morning, hot man.
Hi there. Good morning. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Wherever you are listening to the show, right?
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. So true. So true. Internationally, we're bringing the hammer in today, aren't we? Did you like that?
So, Sue, did you wait all morning to say this? I mean, like, really? I think you did. Should we add something? There's a little jackhammer action for you. I mean, it kind of goes succinct with it.
It sounded like a raspberry.
What?
That's it.
No.
Yes, it does.
Oh, boy. And
our poor guest is what in the world?
I'm sure he's fine with it.
Oh, my goodness. Welcome. Clarity with Sue. Sue here, your host. God, we've been doing this for so many years. I love it. I love bringing new thoughts, new perspective, new ideas. It's you. It's just a 2.0 version, right? And it's you redesigning, reclaiming, and just rethinking things in your life and giving you real life, real time, practical tools to make that happen. And I've got guests from incredible thought leaders to the moms and pops and the peoples of the world that are really stepping in the rink and making the changes and doing the work themselves. And that's one of my guests. It could be our, because it's Benny too. One of guests today, and I know the hammer, but come on. How could I not say we're bringing the hammer today?
I get it. It's all good. Work it. Work it as much as you can.
I love it. So let me go to the formal bio, and then I'm going to bring the doctor, Dr. Greg Hammer, on. He is an MD, like I said, professor at Stanford University School of Medicine. He's a physician and a best-selling author and mindful expert. This is where I'm going to get really excited, because I love the practice of mindfulness, and it is about having real life, real time practical tools in our life to keep us in awareness, keep us mindful, keep us in a state of appreciation and love. So I really want to dive into this whole conversation. And welcome Dr. Greg Hammer to the show.
Wonderful to be with you.
Thank you. You don't mind my hammer joke, do you? I mean, how could I?
Hey, if you're not having fun, then why do it?
Thank you. Well, I would go into the formal bio, but what I like to do and feel your energy, get to know you, and let's jump into the why and the education, and then we're going to talk some more about mindfulness and the processes and, you know, all the juicy stuff.
Okay. So why, first of all, medicine? When I was a lad, I spent many long hours in the freezing cold on December nights on my driveway with my telescope, looking at the stars, looking at the planets, the moon, of course. I was always fascinated by the interrelationship of all things between the ultra micro and the uber macro. And eventually that transitioned to an interest in human biology, the, again, very sort of fractal nature of recurrent shapes, shorelines, all kinds of interrelationships. And so the human body is a lot like the universe in that you have subatomic particles, atoms, molecules, subcellular elements, cells forming tissues, forming organs, forming the body. And then you have humankind, which might be like 7 billion galaxies. So I got very interested in human biology. I think it's really the same thread of interest. Went to medical school, found that I loved working with people in pediatric medicine. It wasn't really love of the kids as much as it was love of the people in the field, whether it was general pediatricians or subspecialists. So I did all my rotations in medical school. I've always had very little tolerance for ego, and I found very little of that in pediatric medicine. Mm. So I decided to do a residency in pediatrics. While in the midst of that, I found I loved intensive care. I love things coming by hot and heavy, like comets. And I found that I also loved anesthesiology, and the skill sets are so similar. Most people don't realize that. They think that we're just putting people to sleep in the operating room. But of course, that's not true. We're keeping them alive while the surgeon is trying to kill them. So I ended up doing another residency in anesthesiology, and then fellowships, and this was at Penn and Children's in Philadelphia, fellowships in pediatric intensive care medicine, pediatric anesthesiology. We had a very famous heart surgeon with a major procedure named after him in Philadelphia. I did a lot of work with him and the heart center team. So I became a pediatric cardiac anesthesiologist and intensive care physician. I developed an interest in research and pharmacology. So I have a laboratory where we do that work. So I really have three jobs. I have the lab, the intensive care, and the cardiac anesthesia. And it's just been a fantastic career. I'm sort of nearing the end of that and focusing on a new chapter, which I've been embracing really forever, and that is wellness. My own, I studied nutritional science as my major as an undergrad, and I've always had nutrition as a major part of my critical care management of patients, many of whom end up being starved by us. So nutrition is so important in healing, so important in wellness. I have developed an interest in sleep and exercise physiology. I've always been an exercise enthusiast. So in the midst of a rising prevalence in physician burnout, I got interested in joining our WellMD program here at Stanford. Ended up giving a talk here and there on burnout and wellness, and then more and more invitations came. I had a sabbatical. I wondered what to do. I love it here on Stanford campus. I didn't necessarily want to go anywhere. I've got my lab to feed and water. And I decided to write a book to sort of get the message out to a broader audience. And so that's the first Gain Without Pain book. And here we are. You know, as I wind down my clinical practice, I'm winding up a variety of wellness endeavors. And, you know, we don't ever know what the future holds, right? So I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or next week, but right now I'm in the midst of becoming more focused on wellness and writing.
Is that a personal, thank you, Dr. Greg, thank you. Is that from the health and wellness? Because that's huge for me. Mm-hmm. And it's, you're not, and the audience knows this, this is not a fast food mentality in any shape or form at all with me. And it's because I am so curious, passionate, and fascinated with whole body health. That's mind, body, spirit, whatever that looks like to you in the spirit realm, right? But creating this vessel, sustaining this vessel that we have, that's mind, that's neuro connecting there. It's hydration. It's all of this stuff, right? It's so important. And I've had other colleagues that we've had this conversation. I'm just going to segue for a minute, but the hydration deficit in the world, people have got, they are so dehydrated, and they don't understand that there's just a simple solution of just drink some more water. It can make such a huge difference. It's such a easy solution, right?
For most of us,
that's true. So talk to me, yes, of course, we're here with your new baby. I'm going to call it your new baby because it sounds like you've had a few babies with the lab and the ICU and all of this amazing evolution in your life. So congratulations. Gain Without Pain, the happiness handbook for healthcare professionals. So you say healthcare professionals, is there a reason why it's specifically for them?
Well, in the beginning, as I said, you know, my goal was to get the message out with the context being a rising tide of burnout amongst not only physicians, of course, but nurses, respiratory therapists, social workers, everybody on the healthcare team. And so the stories in the book are sort of mostly centered on stories in the healthcare sector, but the book is really for everyone.
A great example to set the stage, right?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially, you know, and I've just hats off to all the healthcare professionals, especially after, well, in general, don't get me wrong. I'm not, however, these last few years that we have been challenged, it has been a challenge. So thank you for this and also sharing their stories and creating the platform for this. You go in to talk about judgment. Can we talk about judgment and observing that? Because this is all about the mindful practice. And actually, you know, I want to back up. Will you describe awareness and mindfulness as you see it to be and how it shows up in your life?
I think that Dr. Jon Kabat-Zinn, who's really one of the fathers of mindfulness practice, defined it eloquently. And so I'll quote him. He used an economy of words and really said something so powerful, which is that mindfulness is the awareness of the present moment on purpose, non-judgmentally. And I think one could substitute the word happiness for mindfulness. Happiness is awareness of the present moment on purpose, non-judgmentally. And if you dissect those limited number of words out, awareness. So to me, the universe is made of awareness. We are little modulations of awareness or consciousness or being or love, whatever term you want to use. Awareness of the present moment, crucial because happiness lives in the present moment. Let's explore all of the happiest moments that one has had. We're walking through the redwood forests of the Northern California or the Pacific Northwest. Yes, yes to that. I can see you've enjoyed that experience. we're seeing the light filtering through the canopy of leaves above. We're relishing the soft sensation on the bottoms of our feet as we walk on the floor of pine needles. We smell the beautiful pine and spruce aromas and the oxygen-rich environment. And in that moment, we are at peace. And peace and happiness being interchangeable. Peace is happiness at rest. Happiness is peace in motion. But in that moment, we are feeling peace or happiness. We're not worried about what happened yesterday or the list of things we have to do when we get home. We are right there, and that is where happiness resides. And so awareness of the present moment on purpose. Why on purpose? Because our default mode and way of thinking, according to the way our brains have developed over tens of thousands of years, is often to veil our happiness. So, for example, we're very distracted with the past and the future. We have a hard time abiding in the present moment. So our brains typically take us to the past. And I like to think of thoughts of the past and the future as adaptive or maladaptive. It's adaptive to embrace thoughts of the past when it comes to times with loved ones, and even to acknowledge our mistakes so that we don't continue to repeat them. But because of the way our brains have developed these neural pathways and synapses and these networks, we tend to overthink the past. And beside that distraction with the past and future, the other way that our brains work, which tends to veil our happiness, is we have a negativity bias. We tend to remember the negative and forget about the positive. So when you combine the overthinking of the past and our negativity bias, that explains our regret, our shame, our embarrassment, because we're overthinking things we said or did. And the same with the future, of course. It's adaptive to plan to put bread on the table. It's adaptive to look forward to good times with loved ones. But we overthink the future in maladaptive ways. And with our negativity bias, that generates fear and anxiety. So if we're going to be present, at peace, happy, we have to do it on purpose. We have to have intention. And the I for intention is the I yes. in gain. So awareness of the present moment on purpose, non-judgmentally, and that N is the N in gain, gratitude, acceptance, intention, and non-judgment. Why non-judgmentally? Because we tend to, again, another way that our brains work, analyze and overanalyze everything around us. And maybe this was, in general, an evolutionary advantage 30 or 40 or 50,000 years ago. But we don't have to be overly analytical about what's around us and put it into boxes and label it as good or bad. And unfortunately, again, our negativity bias creeps in and we tend to judge things negatively more than positively. So awareness of the present moment on purpose, non-judgmentally. I think that's a beautiful way to define mindfulness.
On purpose, non-judgmentally. On purpose. Thank you, Dr. Hammer. That was beautiful. On purpose, the media. Everybody's got their teeth in. Live on purpose. Have a purposeful life. For me, living on purpose is being in the now. It's being you. It's you. It's you living your life. It's not external. Do you want to unpack that conversation with me a little bit, just to educate? And
well, I would just go back to the elegant simplicity of Dr. Kabat-Zinn's explanation or definition of mindfulness. It's awareness of the present moment. And when you're present, interestingly, time and space disappear. Because if you are in the present moment and you're not relying on your thoughts and memories to provide your experience or to color your experience, then you are in a state of bliss and presence. And so I would just go back to that it's so empiric, so obvious that when we're fully present, we're happy.
I totally agree with you. And so obvious is and can be a big trigger word for people. Well, what do you mean I'm not obvious? You know, right? Because they get triggered. And I say all of this with love because, I mean, I swim in this conversation. I swim in this education all the time. And I just want to break this down a little bit with the audience and to say, quite frankly, guys, if you're not in the present moment, if you are not in the present moment, you are thinking, your nervous system, your brain, is thinking about the past, the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, the shames, the guilts, or you're trying to control the future and something that's going to be happening. You think that's healthy? Do you want to be in that? Or do you want to be in the present moment? And you know what, Dr. Hammer, saying mindful in the present moment, I'm a big proponent of real life, real time practical tools, right? Because we've, just like you were alluding to, you know, we've got bills, we've got people running red lights. We've got in-laws, we've got student papers to grade. You know, we've got things on the external world that we're regulating and we got to regulate for ourselves, right? Is there some awareness practice or some tools or just some stuff that you can offer to me in the audience, you know, real-time, real-life practical tools to really help us stay in that heightened state of awareness? And also, Dr. Hammer, I got to go back to the Redwoods because you totally transported me. I'm like, yes, I got to go back there. So thank you.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I think, you know, we have our physical well-being and we have our emotional, psychological, really our spiritual well-being. Our physical well-being rests on a tripod of sleep, exercise, and nutrition. So those are things we need to focus on purpose if we want to be physically healthy. We have to have a plan for our sleep and practice good sleep hygiene. We have to understand our bodies, the limitations of our bodies, but the importance of exercise in a variety of ways.
However, and that shows up for you. I mean, it's different for everybody, right?
Yes, but I think specifically we need to have a plan that involves perhaps cardiovascular or what we used to call aerobic exercise and also resistance training to keep our bones and connective tissues healthy. And we also have to focus on our nutrition. And again, we have to have a plan. We can't just go to a default mode of, you know, in the hospital, being at the nursing station and there's a box of See's candy and that's what we pick up because we're just walking by. So we have to have a plan.
And just process in place already. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say just as our physical well-being rests on the trifecta of sleep, exercise, and nutrition, our spiritual wellness rests on the elements of gain. So if you want my simple practice to be more present, be more mindful, and therefore happier and more peaceful, practice on purpose the four gain elements of gratitude, acceptance, intention, and non-judgment. And we can certainly walk through those if you'd like.
Oh, yeah. Bring it. Yes.
Very pragmatic.
Yes. I love it. You're speaking my language, Doc. Let's go. I love this. Thank you.
So I think it's really great to embrace the gain principles early in the morning. So we get up, we open the blinds, we do our morning hygiene thing. We find a comfortable place to sit. And this practice can take as little as 3 minutes. You know, a lot of people think that meditation means you have to sit still for 30 minutes at a time and not move and not scratch an itch. And that you have to have all thoughts banished from your awareness. And this is not true at all. So the gain meditation can be done in 3 minutes. And I'm actually going to give you things to think about. I'm not going to ask you to eliminate all thoughts from your mind. We're actually going to first focus on the breath, as with many kinds of meditation. So we sit in a comfortable place with our eyes closed, and we appreciate the inflow of air through our nose, and we pause at the peak of our breath, our chest and body's expanded, and then we let go slowly, without effort, allowing the breath to be released into the room and the world around us. So we get into this slowing of the breath, maybe in to a count of three, pausing to a count of four, and exhaling effortlessly to a count of five or six or seven. And as we slow the breath, our heart rate slows down, our blood pressure is lowered, and we begin to feel a sense of peace. And then we bring our attention to focus on that for which we're grateful. And we have, all of us have so much for which to be grateful. We can be grateful for this breath. We can be grateful for the clean, sweet air that's entering our bodies through our nose. We can be grateful for our relative health and wealth. We may not be wealthy, but we have a wealth of wonderful elements and experiences in our domain. We're grateful for loved ones. So we can focus on a few things that really bring us into a grateful state of mind.
An elevated state of being, right?
Well, you know, if you focus on that for which you're grateful, you ascend, if you will, as you put it, you know, your awareness expands. So we transition from gratitude to acceptance because life is full of joy, but also pain. And we can't just sort of wish away the pain or try to be grateful all the time. We have to acknowledge that there's pain in our lives. You know,
absolutely.
Many of us have lost a family member, a loved one. We've had personal pain. We may have some depression. So we picture this pain. We can maybe choose one today, a different one tomorrow, but we focus our attention on a painful experience and we bring it closer and closer and we actually visualize our chest opening, our heart opening, and we bring this pain inside our heart and we envelop it and embrace it with our heart until there's really no separation between that pain and the rest of us, our heart. And we can ask ourselves the question, can I live with this pain forever? And when the answer is yes, we've truly embraced that pain. And usually we find that it's not as bad as we thought when we kind of kept it at a distance.
But you're embracing it and accepting it, not holding on to it in your body. I want to make that clear, correct?
Absolutely. It's sort of a dissolution. Yes.
Yeah. We got to make that very clear because we don't want any of that energy stuck in our bodies. I mean,
but you know, when we bring it in, when we actually embrace it with our heart, you know, we are in a way merging with it, but I think what you're describing is not acceptance, but resistance. Mm. There's a lot of ways to resist painful experience. We can try not to think about it.
Denial, avoidance. All the stuff.
Yes. Depersonalization. So in this case, we bring it in, we embrace it, we love it. Then we transition to intention.
I just heard the audience go, wait a minute. Wait. I'm going to love the trauma that just happened to me. Wait. Yeah.
That's eventually.
Yeah.
Yes.
And also, I think this is important too. When you do and have this practice, like Dr. Hammer is explaining and educating us, you are also creating, I'm going to go a little nerdy, neural pathways and experiences that are happening in your body and your mind to help bring more confidence and confidence, strength, availability to you, that trust and confidence in self that you can and are releasing. I don't really like the word overcoming. I think because overcoming, it feels like it's still stuck. I want you to just get it out and release it. Did I communicate that effectively, Dr. Hammer?
Yeah, you did. You know, you can imagine bringing that pain in and on the in-breath, opening our heart, and on the out-breath, dissolving all resistance to that experience.
And as it really is our nervous system just going, I'm going to remind you about that pain. I mean, obviously it goes deeper than that. Don't get me wrong, but I'm trying to generalize it to make it a little bit fluffy, a little bit soft for the audience. I'm not saying that the pain in the situation, I'm not diminishing that. I just want to encourage and give the permission to our audience and people that are listening that it's going to feel like fear. It's going to feel different, and that's okay. That is okay. We want it to feel different so you can put it in the heart and get rid of it. Get rid of it. That's probably not appropriate English, but I'm going to let you finish that, Dr. Hammer.
I would, you know, I think we don't get rid of it. We sort of merge with it in a way. We are living with it as well as our other experience, but we're not judging it. We're not resisting it. I think that's the important thing. There's a formula in the book, which is suffering equals pain times resistance.
Ooh, so say that again.
Suffering equals pain times resistance. So the pain is there, and we're talking about pain that we can't do something about. You know, we lost a loved one. We can't change that. So we've discerned between what we can change and what we cannot change. And now we're embracing that which we cannot change. And suffering equals pain times resistance means that if we lower our resistance ultimately to zero, which is increasing our acceptance, resistance and acceptance being inversely related or opposite, we lower our resistance, we accept, the pain is still there, but the suffering is diminished. And ultimately, if we fully accept, then the suffering goes to zero as well.
Well, wait, what's the difference or what's the contrast? What's the education? I want to noodle on suffering and pain.
Okay,
right?
So
it kind of goes one in one, but I just want to break it down and have that curious conversation.
Well, you know, I've heard it said that the pain is requisite as part of life. The suffering is optional. So pick something painful. You know, you lost a parent during COVID. They died alone in the room, and it brings you a tremendous amount of pain and suffering. But when you sit with that pain, loss of a loved one, and you bring it closer and you open your heart and you merge with it, you can find peace there because life and death, you know, birth and life and death are our nature. And if you can sit with what is our true nature, you can get comfortable with it. And so the pain is still there, but as you embrace it and let it be fully without any resistance, you no longer suffer. Mm. So,
ooh, that is so juicy right there. That is so good right there. Oh, I really want the audience. So with that, you know what, we're going to take a commercial break because I want the audience to really sit with what you just said, because that difference and that contrast between pain and suffering, suffering's a choice. Yes, it is a not a prerequisite, the word I'm looking for. It is part of pain. I don't know what I'm trying to say there, but it is a choice. Suffering's a choice. You guys, this is an absolutely juicy conversation. We have Dr. Hammer with us. We are going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to keep talking about the pain. And we're going to keep educating and getting the juicy stuff from Dr. Hammer and his latest book. I really want to unpack gain too, because you were talking about four steps from gain and the process, because we have been talking about real-time, real-life, pragmatic tools that can help you. And Dr. Hammer said the breath, opening the heart, bringing it in, and I'm going to use the word diffusing with the heart energy, but you could use a different word. But we're going to go to a commercial break, and we're going to still be live on YouTube. This is Sue with Clarity with Sue. Join us on YouTube if you'd like. Just type in 1150. We'll be right back, you guys.
If I had a hammer, I'd a hammer in the morning, I'd a hammer in the evening.
Hey there, everyone. Sue here with Clarity with Sue. You also know me as the host and creator of the Gratitude Cafe. Please sign up for the newsletter so we can stay in touch. All you got to do is go to claritywithsue.com, sign up for the newsletter. And I am creating vitality, abundance, and resilience. I want you to win in life and to reclaim, rediscover, redesign the authentic and genuine you. If that sounds juicy and yummy, come over, let's have a conversation, sign up for the newsletter and or the coaching program and the C2C live online program. Again, that's claritywithsue.com.
Have something important to say? Want to help improve our world? Need to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Our staff helps broadcasters and podcasters create professional-sounding audio. Bring your talent and let our experts help you craft a radio show or podcast that best delivers your message. Learn more at 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local.
Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Norwood, health tip of the day from the African American Wellness Project. Asthma affects 25 million people nationwide, and every day 10 people die with it, with African American women and children being most at risk. Early warning signs include coughing, especially at night, or with exercise and wheezing. Almost all asthma can be effectively managed with a good action plan. So talk with your doctor today, and for more information, visit aawellnessproject.org.
Alternative Talk 1150. It's good for what ails you. This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA.
If I had a hammer, I'd a hammer in the morning, I'd a hammer in the evening, all over this land. I'd a hammer out of danger, I'd a hammer out of warning, I'd a hammer out of love between my brothers and my sisters. All over this land.
Hey, welcome back, you guys. Sue here with Clarity with Sue. We have guest Dr. Greg Hammer. We are talking about mindfulness. We're talking about the key to non-judgment. We're talking about mindfulness practice, a process that needs to be in place before shiitake hits the fan. I want to remind all of you about Greg Hammer. You can go to www.greghammermd.com. Also, I will have, if you're driving, I will have all this information in the newsletter posted on social media. So please just pay attention to the road. So during the break, we were talking about, you know, really wanting to reach for that chocolate bar. And even though I do have that process in place, whether it's the chocolate bar, I use that metaphorically, Dr. Hammer, you know, I want to scream my head off at XYZ person. And I know that's not my normal process that I have in place. However, I also know that there's some kind of chemical release that my body is addicted to. Can we kind of have that conversation and unpack that? Because people are like, what do you mean I'm addicted to a chemical in my body? What am I addicted to? I don't understand that, right? Because they do that spin out and they go in the whole rabbit hole.
Sure. Well, you know, we could talk about chemical responses in the brain or these chemicals that are neurotransmitters. They're chemicals that are utilized by our nervous system, our brain, to communicate with neuron-to-neuron communication. And there are, you know, a handful of these neurotransmitters or chemicals that are associated with good feelings. Dopamine is one that's commonly mentioned. Serotonin in the right place.
The good juicy stuff. Yeah, we want that.
Oxytocin, the love chemical. Yes. So yes, those things can be released when you experience something pleasurable. Ultimately, and I'm not suggesting that you never pick up that chocolate. I'm suggesting.
Oh no, no.
All things in moderation, but when it comes to your body, just relax into the elements of sleep, exercise, and nutrition. And that gives you a framework, something that you can always refer to. Those things are always available to you for your consideration and experience and will contribute to your physical well-being. So, of course, we all have transgressions. We are, you know, with friends and loved ones having a wonderful dinner and dessert is served. And even though we don't normally go for sugary, fatty foods, of course, enjoy.
Yes.
Just rest on that tripod of sleep, exercise, and nutrition as a general way. Don't get too self-critical if you have occasional sugar binges.
Because that is just as detrimental. Yeah, that's just as detrimental too. Don't go down the rabbit hole of shames and guilt, because that's
right.
Impedes everything that we've just been talking about mind, body. You know, the you say the tripod, sleep, exercise, and nutrition. Is that correct?
That's yes.
Yeah.
Of our physical well-being. And then to consider our emotional, spiritual well-being, we have four elements. And I think that they are present in all philosophies and religious traditions in one form or another. So there's gratitude, acceptance, intention, and non-judgment. And we were sort of working our way through the 3 or 4 minute morning practice. We talked a lot about acceptance. Intention, as we discussed, we have to be purposeful about the way we think and live, because our default mode, our way of thinking, is not necessarily most supportive of our happiness. You know, we tend to go to the past and the future excessively. We have a negativity bias. We may be very judgmental and unfortunately most harshly so of ourselves. So what can we do about that? We can practice this GAIN method of a brief meditation in the morning. So we've considered the breath, our gratitude, our acceptance. When we go to intention, I think a good pragmatic exercise is let the mind rest into the present moment. And you'll find, of course, that your mind wants to go to the past and future. But try just even for 5 seconds to be fully aware of, our eyes are closed, so we're not visualizing anything physically. But listen to what the sounds are that are around us right now. It could be an airplane going by in the distance, could be a little bit of ringing in our ears. Notice the way the chair feels as it supports our body. Notice the tingling on the soles of our feet. Notice the way our chest feels as we breathe. Rest into this moment, this experience that's right now, for as long as it's comfortable. Eventually, with this practice, it'll be more comfortable to rest there, to abide there for more than 5 seconds. But then focus on what our true intention is, which is to be present and positive. and sit with that. And then we move to the end and gain, which is non-judgment. And I'll give you a little exercise that we can do right now if you want.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And it can take 45 seconds to a minute. So let's close our eyes. And I'm going to close
my eyes. But not while you're driving, audience. If you're driving, don't close your eyes.
Now, if you're driving, do this with your eyes open.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm just going to give you an example of an element of the gain meditation practice. We close our eyes. We notice the magic of the in-breath, the slight sweetness in the air, the nourishing oxygen passing through our nose, filling our chest, expanding our chest, pausing there, resting there, and then just letting it go slowly without effort. And we repeat. And then we go to our non-judgment and we visualize one of these beautiful NASA images of the Earth, apparently suspended in space. The Earth is just this beautiful planet. It's clearly neither good nor bad. The Earth is neither good nor bad. It simply is what it is. And then it's only logical for me to turn toward myself and recognize that I am neither good nor bad. I am neither good nor bad. I am simply a human being. I am simply the person that I am. I am. And we return to the breath with this I am-ness, no judgment, full acceptance. And then we slowly open our eyes and we're ready to go out in the world. So that's a non-judgment exercise. You know, we can do that with our eyes open. We can do it with our eyes closed. It's the end and gain. And again, it's just a simple visualization. We have this planet that we can look upon with a slight sweetness, a slight benevolence, but no judgment. The planet clearly is neither good nor bad. And if we're just part of the planet, which is really what we are, we're formed from the same elements that have gone through the same processes as the soil on which we're standing or the mountain upon which we're gazing. We are all made of the same stuff. It's only logical for us to turn our attention inward and recognize that we are neither good nor bad. There's no need to judge. Things around us are neither good nor bad. They simply are what they are. We don't need to color them with our subjective experience. And we can see things the way they truly are. And when we look toward ourselves, we can see ourselves the way we are. We are not good or bad. We're just a human being. We are just what we are. We're made of the same stuff as the earth. And we can just sort of hold our I am-ness in our hearts. And then we return to the focus on the breath and we slowly open our eyes. And we've considered these four elements, the gratitude, acceptance, intention, and non-judgment in the same way. We've held them. We've opened our hearts to them. And this can be just a very brief practice. What happens is that over time, we realize that we're changing the way we think. We have this beautiful quality. Our brains have this neuroplasticity. So you mentioned that we become our thoughts or we are what we think. We have ways of thinking that are ingrained into our neural networks, if you will, and have evolved that way over tens of thousands of years. We're not going to change them overnight, but we can take baby steps each day to begin to rewire our brains. And when we look back after
And it's possible. And That's important. It's possible. It can happen. Yes, please.
Absolutely. And so I think if we do this 3 or 4 minute practice every morning, sure, we'll miss a day here and there. Maybe we'll forget. We'll do it later in the day. But what we're doing is we sit and contemplate these gain elements. We're gradually rewiring our brain to be more present, more positive, more at peace, happier.
And look at the external world's going to show up that way for you, right? It all of this beauty and magic is going to start. I know for myself, and that, and it's an energetic practice for me too. I don't want to live in resentment. I don't want to live in the sticky stuff like I alluded to earlier. I want to live in, yes, there's contrast in life. I'm not sugarcoating. It's just a contrast. Just like you were saying, all it is a contrast. It's how you react, respond to said contrast, right? I am choosing within that contrast. Now, I'm not perfect. Don't go there. No, you know, it's a process and it's a practice. And, you know, raising three daughters, they're going to trigger the bejeebas out of stuff that's inside of me, right? So I know that I have to put into practice. But where I'm going with all of this is it is a choice, just like your suffering. Dr. Hammer, what you were talking about earlier, suffering or pain, you know, discerning and having that contrast. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to live and suffer. I don't want all of our listeners and the people that we touch, the book that you're touching all of these people. We don't want that. We don't want you to live in suffering. We want you to live in that just I am-ness of the world. And I love that meditation. I love it's so big and so grand and so of course. You know, does that make sense? It's like, of course.
Absolutely. These are very accessible experiences. We can rest into them for 5 seconds, for a minute, and we begin to feel, whether it's modulated by dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin, it doesn't matter. We begin to feel our nervous system coming to a place of rest, our heart rate coming down, our blood pressure coming down, our cortisol level, stress hormone coming down. And we just rest into the awareness of these very simple, accessible principles. And go. The more we practice this, the more accessible they are. And when we're feeling stressed, when we're feeling upset, angry, resentful, self-critical, we just can relax into the gain elements for even a few seconds. And we can feel that tension, the adrenaline, the cortisol dissipating.
But you first have to make that choice. Oh, totally. And going back to that addiction, our body, it's a choice too. Oh no, I want to have this tantrum. Just a minute, please. I'm going to go have a tantrum. Go scream in a pillow. Do what you need to do to get the energy out. However, you can also do the gain method, right? It's the gain elements, excuse me. Gain method, gain elements. And it's, guys, that's why I have these incredible people on my show. This is not a Safeway coupon for whatever. This is something that you can do right here, right now. It is simply the breath and opening your heart. And Dr. Hammer, that's going to be one of my go-tos now with, you know, putting the world in my heart. I went even grander that with the universe, but for whatever reason, it was really tactile for me. You said NASA, and I was just looking at it, watching NASA the other night, and I saw the Earth, and I was like, oh, so beautiful, and she's blah, blah, blah. So it was very pragmatic and tactile for me. So thank you for that. That Earth meditation. Have we gone through the game practice? Have we gone through that all of the elements yet? I know we've been.
We went through gratitude, okay. acceptance, intention, and non-judgment.
That non-judgment, that's what got me right there, Dr. Hammer, was that because it is sitting in that non-judgment when I have Mother Earth in my heart. You know, how can you even judge that as it's such an essential language that I speak, but it's so powerful in its essence and its energy, right?
Absolutely.
Oh. Boom! God, that's
beautiful.
Well,
it's all so accessible at any time, night or day. We wake up, we're feeling a little depressed. We have a lot of thoughts running through our head. We feel like we're not going to be able to go back to sleep. Rest into these four elements and experience the dissolution of that anxiety. It just, the more we practice, the more accessible and more effective this contemplation is. And
then it becomes your habituation to do that instead of the other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Safeway coupon that never expires. It's always there. It's always accessible.
Always there. It's free, for God's sakes, you guys. It's free. It's right there. No victimhood.
No cost for delivery. Purpose. You know, delivery is free.
Delivery is free. I love that. Totally. Oh my God, I love it.
Gratitude, non-judgment. That is a really, I'm coming away with a fresh new understanding of non-judgment. So thank you for that. It's going to be a really interesting conversation that I have with myself after this show today, because that non-judgment, that shame, right? You know, going into that rabbit hole of, we use non-judgment as an umbrella of the conversation because there's shames and guilts and all the sticky stuff, right? And being able to just put Mother Earth and me as I am, as love of Mother Earth, and really reflecting into that, leaning into that self-love and self-care. I love that. Because gratitude and appreciation and elevated emotions like that is, that's one of my practices. That's like brushing my teeth. It just is. So I love being able to have the other four practices or methods in your book. Let me remind everybody about who you are, because we are just about wrapping up on time. And we've been talking about a lot within the mindfulness realm and the mind, body, spirit. You talk about the tripod of the body, and it was the physical is sleep, exercise, and nutrition, which is really important. And then we went into the spiritual well-being, which is also very prevalent and important. We also talked about non-judgment, the gain elements, which is in your book. I'm going to remind everybody about your book, Gain Without Pain, the happiness handbook for healthcare professionals. Now, it's not just for healthcare professionals, but this is for everybody. And let me repeat myself, Gain Without Pain, the happiness handbook for healthcare professionals. And the beautiful human that we are talking to is Dr. Greg Hammer. You can find all of his information and books and the juicy stuff, as I like to call it, at www.greghammermd.com. If you're driving, I will have all that information set up and ready for you on social media and, of course, in the newsletter. If you don't have the newsletter, silly you, you must do that. So all you got to do is just go to Clarity with Sue, and they're love bumps. They just come to love on you every week. And also, there was something else I wanted to talk. Oh, please give us 6 stars. Dr. Hammer, I always say this because it's like podcast world. I think it's 4 or 5 stars. I'm like, I'm shooting for the stars. Go to 6 stars. Make sure you follow us there as well.
I would say that if anybody goes to my website, greghammermd.com now, or perhaps even tomorrow, you may find that you get nothing. But so the website is being revamped. It's down for a day or two, but we'll be back up after that. And I hope that this interview, as well as a lot of other media, as you suggested, will be on that website and a link to the book as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love it. We've got about 2 more minutes. Is there anything that you just kind of want to encapsulate in the container of everything that we've talked about? Is there something that's coming up for you that you'd like to end the show with today, Dr. Hammer?
I would like us all, myself included, as you suggested, this is a process. There's no destination. And I'm certainly not anywhere, actually. you know, it's a process, and we're all on the path together. And so we all feel that sometimes we are unique in having secrets and being ashamed, and we're not. This is the way our brains work. We are all the same. We all have a negativity bias. We are all more harshly self-judgmental than we are judgmental of others. And it takes practice in order to rewire our brains to take advantage of this wonderful quality our brains have called neuroplasticity, to begin to think in new ways and to be less harshly self-judgmental. So we're all in this together. We're all made of the same stuff. We all have these dark thoughts. But there's good news. There's good news that a very simple practice, such as a morning gain meditation, and then light bulbs will go off during the day when we're being ungrateful or resisting or not intentional or overly judgmental. And then we can just fall back into the game practice, and we're all in it together. Let's not have anybody feel as though they're uniquely a terrible person by any means. No, let's not judge ourselves.
No, let's not. Thank you, Dr. Hammer. Thank you so much. This has been so wonderful. I could keep talking because I love this conversation and unpacking it all and educating. We have spent the last hour talking to Dr. Hammer. He's given us some really the GAIN method, and we have, I love it. I'm really going to take that non-judgment and Mother Earth to the rest of my life and to other people. So thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute delight. Thank you for stepping in the rink and educating and showing up and being that example for so many people. So thank you very much. To the audience, I love you guys. Thank you. Hang on just a second. To the audience, I love you guys. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter. Just go to Clarity with Sue and you'll get some love sent right into the email box. And until next week, each of you are a gift. Get out there and share yourself with the world.
Welcome to the good life. Game on. We're going strong. A renaissance, a new beginning. Sit tight.